Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 6 of Getting Savvy. Melissa, I feel like it's been so long since we've done this, but I think that's because there's been a massive change in U.S. politics. I feel like I still think it's Wednesday morning.
I know. This was a big week. Lots happened this week.
A ton. So let me just start then with the market recap. Well, first of all, what did we do this? Well, what I did this week was look at the, I watched the acceptance speech at 2 a.m. We had
a couple people. Oh, you did? Good for
over.
You.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. I did it all. All I've been doing is reading about the election results, what it means for the market, the economy, the world, Canada. And the market's been on frickin' fire. I could not believe it. The Dow was up 1500 points on Wednesday. You know, I know the points might not mean anything to some people, but you know, it's over 3%. Sometimes you'll see a 400 point rally on a great day, even 200 points. This was 1500 points. I had to literally do a double take, you know, on
wait, this was Thursday, the day after the election?
This was Wednesday. Yeah. Wednesday. The election was Tuesday. They called it, you know, 2 a.m. You know, Tuesday,
Right.
Wednesday morning.
Okay, sorry. Yeah.
And so anyway, yeah, it's just been, it's been pretty wild. And it's been wild in the sense that, you know, the market, as we talk about, is a forward-looking pricing mechanism. So it's pricing in what they think will happen in the future. And so people are thinking that Trump, you know, he's going to most likely lower corporate taxes, maybe to 15%. He'll extend the personal tax cuts that are already in place that are set to expire. So again, you know, you and I talk about this, and we talk about it as relates to Canada as well. When you have higher interest rates and higher taxes, you've got less money in your pockets to spend. And I came across an interesting stat today, actually, that 46% of the average Canadian's household goes towards paying taxes. 46% of the average Canadian.
That's why Canadians have so much less money to shop with. I mean, that's why we don't have the same, you know, ability to shop as Americans. I mean, we pay so much in tax.
We do. And then we're also taxed.
That's why people are so lucky to come and live in our country.
I know. Oh, by the way, there's this cute Instagram picture of two RCMP officers and the one saying, "Do you see any Americans coming?" "No, sir." So you know how they're all the Democrats saying they were going to come to Canada?
Mm-hmm.
Apparently not.
No, and they don't. They're like, they always say that, oh, you know, after the election, Google searches on how to move to Canada increase. And then they look at what happens when you move. They're like, no, thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Oh, I have to give away my gun? Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
I have to pay what in tax? No. Oh, what's the temperature? Nah, yeah. It'll be fine.
It'll be fine. And then also, you know, we not only are we taxed, like, again, the average, right, is 46% of your household income. And then you're taxed on your savings, you're taxed on your investments, you're taxed on your property, you're taxed on absolutely everything. And, you know, I made a comment to someone the other day, I don't know if I said it on this program as well, but, you know, food banks are the new grocery store in Canada. They're up so dramatically. People are having to go to them to be able to, even if they don't have to go, it's the only way they can kind of make their payments, make it towards the end of the month. There's also one other stat I want to give to you, which is, I think it's a third of households, the parents are now cutting back on their eating to give their kids more food.
Yeah, I saw that. But that's not such a bad thing. Probably eating too much. Maybe they want an Ozempic.
Yeah, well, maybe, but anyway, going back to it's the taxes. So like, if we look at the states
the taxes and the inflation and
they're getting unleashed. And so, you know, you had the market. So you and I both bought the S&P 500 a couple of weeks ago, right? Or you had already owned it.
I did. And I bought it more a few weeks ago, I think on episode 2 or 3.
Episode 2 or 3. And so that market, part of the market, the S&P 500's 500 largest companies, was up 5% just in the past couple of days. That's a big move.
Yeah, especially when it was already at a high.
Right. So we've hit
You
new
know, it's a
highs
huge
this.
move. And I don't want to be like bearish, but it does scare me. And I was thinking about, did you ever used to watch, I don't know if it was The Price is Right. I think it was the game show. And one of the games was they had this little man that would go up a mountain, and you had to go up a mountain until he like fell off the cliff.
Okay.
Did you see this or no?
I
Anyhow,
remember.
I just feel like we're getting to the top of the mountain. And it did scare me when Buffett had his big sell-off, you know, and he sold his Bank of America
He
and more
sold. Yeah, he
Apple.
sold.
Like, it's like,
Yeah.
what does he know? You know, I don't know. I just, how long can it keep going up? And I know that, you know, yes, it's Trump is coming into power, but I think like the way that Trump inherited like the COVID pandemic and epidemic, and he was like, oh my God, I feel like he's also going to inherit a difficult situation that everybody wants the market to continue to be great, and he's Republican and it's going to keep accelerating. But I think he's going to have a challenge with, you know, inflation
Sure.
and jobs. And if he's going to be increasing tariffs, things are going to get more expensive. I don't know. And the debt is out of control.
Well,
I mean,
right,
I
it's
don't
the
know.
debt.
I'm on here for health and beauty.
I
Okay. But I'm still
You're a
allowed to
smart
have these
woman.
thoughts. I'm a smart
Yes.
woman and ask questions. And, you know, I don't know.
And by the way, Melissa, you're also following our conversations and what you're seeing out
Yeah.
there. You're following the story. And that's what I love about
Yes.
finance and investing. It's a story. And I've got some stories to tell you today about some specific stocks that I think are going to be interesting as it relates to Trump and everything. But you know, you're right. The previous administration, the current administration in the United States, just like our current administration in Canada, they spent and they spent and they spent. There is so much debt. The interest costs on our debt here in Canada are about the same amount, so $46 billion annually, which is the same amount that we bring in terms of GST. So the tax that you pay is just going, it's not even going to pay. I say this all the time. It's not going to pay for after school sports or better education or healthcare. It's going to just pay the interest on the amount of debt. So you are
Exactly.
absolutely
Yes.
right that how long can that go on for? That's been the issue. That's been the argument for quite some time. Nobody really knows how it ends, although some investors do think that they might know how it will end. And some of the smartest people I've been speaking with, I'm really on a rant today. Again, I feel like it's a Wednesday, not a Friday. But some of the smartest people I've talked to, like, they own gold. They like hard assets. They're also buying crypto. So,
Yeah.
you know, they're diversifying for when something might happen.
I see that totally. And Bitcoin's been on a tear, like it's done going up like crazy.
Right.
And I
And
think people are
part of that is because
Trump.
Trump is crypto friendly.
Yep.
And the other part is because, you know, there is just so much.
Weren't the Democrats crypto friendly too? I mean, has anybody not been crypto friendly?
Yeah, well, I think it's been difficult depending on who they have in place on the regulatory front. And that's one reason why tech has been on a bit of a tear as well. Like, tech's been going up. Part of that is because the head of the FTC, so the group that determines whether or not there's too much antitrust, whether tech companies are too big, that they should be broken up. It's believed that the head of that, Lina Khan, will be pushed out, or, you know, not, I shouldn't say pushed out, but she won't
Okay.
be the head of the FTC during Trump. And so what that's doing right now, Melissa, and just like, you know, it's always interesting to say, okay, this is what happened, and therefore what stocks go up and what stocks go down, because which companies are going to benefit. So as an example,
Right.
Goldman Sachs's stock is up. I wrote this down quite a bit since Wednesday, because they're the preeminent investment bank. So if there's less regulation and more deals allowed to happen, because Lina Khan's going to be out of the head of the FTC, Goldman Sachs is going to make more fees and money doing deals.
Got it. So I guess that's what it comes down to, is less regulation. And I
Less
guess why they're that's
regulation.
why they're staying. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was reading something about how the CEO of Binance, I think it was, went to jail for, I guess, on money laundering. They said that he wasn't being strict enough to make sure people weren't using his crypto for money laundering. But then he said, well, how come nobody from TD Bank went to jail when their whole money laundering scandal? Anyhow, I was just reading about it.
I didn't see that.
It was interesting. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there's different rules for different people, but then you never know. Sometimes it takes more time. And to your point earlier, sometimes there's more focus on certain industries. And obviously crypto's had like a big spotlight on them, right? Good and bad.
Oh, yeah.
Well, a lot of bad. Yeah. Sam Bankman-Fried or Sam Bankman-Fried.
Altman. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sam, what is it?
Sam Bankman-Fried.
Bankman-Fried. Okay, Bankman-Fried. Yes. Okay, I like it. Yeah. I read the book. That was a really good book. I'm trying to remember what it was called.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I started
it was
it.
Really interesting. Yeah. I liked it.
It was the one that was saying he was so smart. He was too smart for his own good. And right. That one.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause it started off, it was going to be a big, it started off. The book was going to be all about like the positive of him. And then all the scandal broke out and then they had to sort of go negative. Yeah. So the book starts off, you're thinking he's awesome. And then he's not so awesome.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway. I just want to point out as well that, you know, the Canadian dollar hit a 2-year low. The US dollar has been rallying. It's absolutely on fire. What else? Here in Canada, BCE bought a company in the United States, so Bell Canada, for $5 billion. The market did not like that deal at all. The stock is at a 12-year low. This is one of our big telecom companies. It's at a 12-year low. They suspended the dividend growth policy, and they also cut their forecast. So they are having a very difficult time, which I find interesting. I used to work there, obviously. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of a piece of big news in the Canadian landscape, capital markets landscape. So anyway, markets are, you know, have been doing well. TSX is up, I think, by 1 to 2% as well this week. What's new in health news?
What's new in health news? So there's been a lot of articles about how walking pneumonia is on the rise in Canada, especially in kids. They're seeing more and more cases of walking pneumonia, which leads people to say, well, what's walking pneumonia?
Yeah.
Right. So basically, walking pneumonia is a less severe type of pneumonia where it still presents with, you know, fever and cough, but it tends to be less severe, that it doesn't result in, you know, hospitalizations and people are walking around with it, but also the pathogen is different. So most cases of pneumonia are a bacteria called strep pneumonia, but walking pneumonia refers to mycoplasma pneumonia. And the reason this is relevant is because we often give kids amoxicillin. You might give them amoxicillin for pneumonia, but mycoplasma pneumonia doesn't respond to that antibiotic. It needs an antibiotic called a macrolide. So you might know of that as like Zedpac. You might have taken that in the past, or azithromycin or something that ends in mycin. Anyhow, so it is treatable, but they're just seeing a lot more cases of it. And, you know, some people are wondering, is this because of COVID with immunity being suppressed and people not being exposed to these pathogens? Or is it because of, you know, it's just very contagious and transmissible? Could be that less people are getting vaccines and therefore getting more viral infections that can then predispose them to then getting a bacterial infection. Anyhow, they don't know. But I think the takeaway is, if you have, right now it's, you know, respiratory virus or respiratory infection season. Everybody's got a cough right now and a cold and, you know, and so how do you know, is this just a virus or do I have pneumonia? So, so if you have a fever lasting longer than 5 days, you know, that could be a red flag. If your cough is going on 3 weeks and still not getting better, that could be a red flag. I mean, obviously, if you're bedridden and extremely sick, then yes, you need to get checked. But these are other things that could indicate that it could be a pneumonia brewing. And pneumonia leads to a lot of mortality and morbidity. There's like 2%. If you're over the age of 65, it results in about a 2% chance of hospitalization. So the key thing is making sure that people don't get pneumonia, don't get it severe enough to land them up in hospital. And how do we do this? vaccines.
I know
help.
how.
They do the vaccines. No, and I'm talking about just, yeah. So there is pneumonia vaccines that have lowered the, and that's why we see less strep pneumonia now, because most seniors do get their pneumococcal vaccine. And also preventing us from getting these viral respiratory tract infections that can turn into a viral pneumonia that can then be overcome with bacteria and lead to a bacterial pneumonia. So you got to prevent the severity of these viral infections, which leads to other health news that Moderna actually came out with their version of the RSV vaccine. So RSV is a respiratory virus. It often leads to what we call upper respiratory tract infections, meaning bronchitis, whereas a lower respiratory tract infection is pneumonia. But the problem is if that RSV bronchitis gets worse, it can turn into a lower respiratory tract, and that's when the trouble starts. So it was approved a couple of years ago. I think it was last year, actually, was the first year we had Arexv, which was GSK's RSV vaccine. And that was for people 60 and over. Now it's approved for 50 and over. And now Moderna came out with their version of an RSV vaccine, which is an mRNA vaccine, whereas the GSK's non-mRNA, this one is. So bottom line, if you're over the age of, you know, 50 and have other health conditions, or over the age of 60, you want to talk to your doctor about whether these could benefit you. And then the flu shot right now.
Yeah. But Melissa, are you seeing, I mean, I think that there's more people who are skeptical of vaccines
because
of COVID. So are you seeing that? You must see that quite a bit.
There's a lot. A lot of people are skeptical of vaccines and don't want to get it anymore because of COVID and conspiracy theories and social media. Yet these same people who are worried about the vaccine, the minute they get a respiratory tract infection, they want an antibiotic. So it's like, how come you're willing to take an antibiotic that you don't may not need, which can lead to other, you know, it can alter your gut flora, it can do other things as well. But they, you know, it's hard to decipher. It's hard to know. I mean, I think that there's all this talk now with Trump's guy, what's his name? Robert Kennedy. RFK saying he wants to get vaccines banned and he wants to get fluoride out of the water and all sorts of these things. But like, is he a doctor?
No.
I don't think so. Yeah. So like, this is the thing. I can chat about wealth with you and financial matters and my theories on things. But at the end of the day, like, you should be listening to an expert in, you know, like if you want to listen to Buffett, and if Warren Buffett came on and he sat there and gave me a talk and he said, you know, this is through my years of experience and training, and, you know, that's something you want to listen and learn from. But like, I don't know. I just, these conspiracy theories, they can be so convincing, but I think you have to look at scientists and what we know helps.
Which there, I mean, look, there is a book I read, and it is called The Canary in the COVID World. And it is a compilation, compilation of 35 essays from scientists and doctors around the world that did disagree with the COVID vaccine. And they do have a scientific and doctor background. So, you know, to me, that's not conspiracy. Yeah. That's their opinion based on their scientific evidence. I think when you, you know, and I don't want to quote RFK, maybe he'd even come on to talk to us. But I think that what's also been revealed, Melissa and I, this is just what people believe. It's not necessarily what I believe, because I think they've done a lot of good too, is obviously the FDA. And there's a lot of people who think that, you know, that's just, you know, big money pushing what they want in the FDA, et cetera. So FDA obviously is what approves those US drugs. And I think that that's where, you know, some people have a lot of problems with what the Food and Drug Administration has approved. And I want to bring up one thing, interesting piece on Twitter, which I'm happy to tweet out. And it's RFK, and he's standing in front of a bunch of, you know, junk food cereals, and talks about cheese, not cheese was, you know, Kraft dinner cheese, KFC, whatever it's called. Haven't had it in a long time,
Katie.
Obviously.
Katie, I have it every week. Well, in my house, it's every weekend.
Okay, Katie. Well, and by the way, this is US, not Canada, but I'm going to reiterate that when I was in Europe this summer a little bit, or the fall, And you know, you can eat anything there. You don't gain weight. You don't feel bloated. You come home, and or you realize that there are 1,900 banned substances in Europe that we allow in North America. So one of the ones that he brought up is tartrazine, 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 and it's a yellow substance. So when you look at your food and it's yellow, well, this yellow substance, I think it's also called yellow five. This substance is actually a derivative of coal sludge. And they were trying to figure out, it was a British scientist who kind of figured out what could we use this for. It's yellow. And then they used it in yellow fabric. This is all RFK. I've not checked any of this out, okay? But then
Okay.
it gets used into fabric, yellow fabric. And then they figure they can use it without changing flavors into food. Yellow, you know, to add that color. Like think of some crackers that might be yellow. Again, I don't want to name any names. And so we're eating this, and it has been proven to cause ADHD, tumors, the list goes on.
Yeah, I don't buy it.
You
Maybe
don't buy it?
I don't know. No. I think if it
Okay.
caused that, if they knew that it caused that, it would be immediately on the ban list. I think that when something's obvious to cause something and we see direct data, I mean, it's gone. I mean, that, I think the one that we should be more concerned about or starting to be concerned about is plastics and microplastics and nanoplastics. Those have become, that's a problem. Because plastics are everywhere, and they've found that they're finding these nanoplastics on in human organs, in our arteries, going to our brain. That could be something that's definitely affecting us.
Sure.
And we'll see. Although, people are living longer than they ever have ever.
But more
You
disease
know?
than ever. More disease than ever.
Well, if you live long, you're going to have a disease. You
Yeah,
know,
I
you
mean,
can't, if you're going to drive a car, like I was saying, if you're going to have a car and you're going to keep putting miles on it, it's going to wear down and break down and get exposed to things and rust and have problems, right? So we just got to focus on the fixing. How are we going to, like, I think we focus a lot on how are we going to get all these things out of our environment? How are we going to get all these? I don't see how it's ever going to be possible to get plastics out of our environment. It's everywhere. It's ubiquitous. I've tried to cut down on plastics. Okay, so great. So I'm not going to drink a bottled plastic water. But then where am I getting the water from? Like, it then you go in your fridge and everything's in a plastic
I
container and my
know.
yogurt's in plastic and everything's plastic and the bag is plastic. And I just don't think we're going to be able to get rid of it. I think we're going to have to figure out a way once we are exposed to it on how to get it out of our system or deal with it. Anyhow,
Agreed.
that's a whole other side, and we could,
No,
but
I know. I know.
anyhow, so I'm
Well,
just giving you what's in the health news right now. So they have Moderna has this new vaccine and walking pneumonia. And oh, more good news for the GLP-1 drugs.
tell me.
So another study now showed that not only do they have potential benefit to decrease risk of Alzheimer's, heart disease, neurodegenerative disease, but also now they're showing decrease in all-cause hospitalizations and length of hospital stay. So they had a study was done in people that are on GLP-1 class of drugs like Ozempic. I think the study was no specifically they were on Ozempic 2.4 milligrams, and they weren't on it for diabetes. They were on it for weight or heart disease. And what they found was that they had less of a chance of going into hospital for any reason. And once they were in hospital, they were discharged earlier. And the reason that's relevant is that saves
Sure.
tons of money to the healthcare system.
Yep.
So the debate's going to be if these drugs are saving money, should they be subsidized and paid for?
Absolutely. That's going to be the debate,
So.
and it's worth having the debate and conversation over, I truly believe. Now, are they having shorter hospital stays because they are not as overweight as they used to be, and therefore it's less stress on their
Healthier.
organs? They're
They
healthier.
don't, they didn't know the exact reason, but yes, that's the theory. And just healthier, less inflammation, better able to fight off the conditions. Yeah. And there was a new also, they put a new warning on boxes of GLP-1 related drugs that now includes increased risk for aspiration. What that means is when this aspiration means the stomach contents aspirate up the
Oh.
trachea, down, sorry, up the esophagus and go into the trachea and can cause a
Oh.
pneumonia. So this is why if you ever have surgery, they tell you to fast for a certain number of hours before surgery. Or but whenever you're going under anesthetic, they tell you don't eat or drink anything after a certain time because they want to lower the risk of having anything in your stomach. Because if there's something in your stomach, it could aspirate, come up your esophagus, into your throat, go into your trachea, aka windpipe, down into your lungs, cause a pneumonia.
Wow.
So because Ozempic and these drugs cause food to stay in the stomach longer, they're telling people now, if you are going to be getting a surgery, you have to be off these drugs before the surgery or
Oh,
procedure. So this is
interesting.
a new thing, but you must tell, a lot of people are embarrassed to tell people that they're taking them. But it's important that you take, if you have an elective surgery coming up or a procedure like a colonoscopy, anything that you have to be under general anesthetic or a deep sedation, you must tell the anesthesiologist because you're at risk. So a lot of them stop it beforehand.
That's so interesting.
Anyhow, so that's just a new warning on the drugs. Yeah.
Okay, good to know. I do want, not on this on this episode today, but I do want to get your take in terms of the, how people should prepare for surgery. Like that's obviously kind of a one-off if you're on the GLPs, but I'm sure there are other things. They always say like, don't take your vitamins, and I don't know why, but there's certain vitamins you're not supposed to
So certain
take.
blood thinners. Yeah. So
Oh.
certain things like omega-3s, if you're on those, they can thin your blood. So sometimes they'll recommend that you don't take
Okay.
that. Obviously
Yeah.
the GLP-1s, they want to recommend against like smoking because you don't heal as well. So a lot of time they encourage people to quit smoking before
That's kind of
procedure to
obvious.
avoid alcohol. Yeah, to avoid alcohol for the week or so before the procedure, because again, that's a blood thinner as well. And similarly, I often tell people if they're coming in for a minor procedure, like even to like Botox or filler, these are things you want to avoid if you can, a couple of days preceding it, alcohol, high doses of omega-3s or Advil or aspirin, because they all thin your blood and they increase the risk of bleeding and bruising.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do a deep dive on that too. I mean, I think that's probably covers it most. It's so funny because if you ever have an emergency surgery, it's not obviously like you plan for it, so you're still doing all that
Yep.
stuff,
Yep. So this is the risk. But yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So much to do.
So much.
So much to do.
Well, I'll be
We can
sure to
only
call
be.
Robert F. Kennedy. If I'm in an emergency situation, he will be my first call for medical advice.
Well, guess what? If we go skiing in Aspen this year, guess who tends to be in Aspen?
He does?
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, I can't wait. I don't think he'll like me. Or maybe he will. We'll have good conversation.
You'll have a
That
great
would be amazing.
conversation.
This is what it's all about, right? You don't have to
Yeah.
always agree on everything. If you do, then you never come to any interesting conclusions and you never advance your thinking. I always have an open mind, always.
You do. You
Because
do.
I do, because you know what? If you're closed off, no one knows everything. And like the
Right.
older you get, the more you realize you don't know.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm always interested to hear somebody's, take on
Okay.
things.
Well,
If
I
someone
keep
can get me,
thinking. Yeah, well, I do want us to do this podcast in Aspen together. So maybe we can get a we'll see if we can get him and maybe a couple other
Oh, that'd be
people.
fun.
Yeah, we'll do that. Okay. Just in terms of the markets, just a couple more things I wanted to maybe mention. Which is, some of the pharmaceutical stocks did trade lower on Wednesday. They were almost a bit of an outlier. And I think the reason is because President Trump has been really against the high prescription drug prices. So it does make me think a little bit in terms of, they're obviously still large and have many products, et cetera, but it does make me think a little bit about, if I would buy more or sell or trim. I wouldn't sell, but would I trim? Or would I buy more? So just kind of FYI on that front.
Interesting. I think the only
Yeah.
healthcare stock that I own is Pfizer. And it hasn't done, I mean, but it pays a dividend.
Yep. Pays a
Good
dividend.
company.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think this, and AbbVie, I think, has been doing very well.
Haven't looked at it lately.
Yeah, it has been. And it's got a new drug. This is something we'll talk about later because I want to make sure I'm up to date on everything. But this is a good example of one of their big drugs. I think it was Humira. Humira, I don't know.
Humira, yep.
But it came off patent. And so what does that do to that? Because I'm always thinking about things like, like Mounjaro, like Eli Lilly's, like Mounjaro and Zepbound. Eventually, when we can have generics of all these, like what happens?
Sure.
So now they have a new Skinrizi or something. I don't know. I hope I'm not butchering the name, but I see ads for it on TV for their new drug, Skyrizi, I think it's called. Anyhow, they have a new drug that's doing very well. And I mean, these drugs,
Okay.
like I know people talk about the pharmaceutical company like it's a bad thing, but oh my gosh, it's unbelievable how helpful some of these medications and the science that goes behind it is that they discover it. It's like, yeah.
Well, I'm sure
Anyhow, I
because
find it.
you would see the results of people's lifestyles
Oh.
and how they feel, right?
Yes. And that can be like life-saving and life-changing. And yeah, it's
Yeah.
so hard as a family doctor or at any doctor when someone comes in. The worst thing is when you can't give them when you're like, sorry, nothing we can do, just time.
Right.
Feel better, you know?
I
Like,
know.
but if there's actually drugs that can help and really improve the quality of their life and their lifespan, then to me, that's like,
Yeah,
yeah, that's
I think
doing good
everybody
work.
would
And
take
I
it.
think people deserve to be paid for good work.
Yeah, absolutely. I did want to do one follow-up from our conversation last week with Ian Schaefer, the portfolio manager we had, and we did a bit of an in-depth dive on Uber. I wanted to talk about valuation briefly because I think he went over it really quickly, and I want to make sure you and everybody understands what valuation means. And it basically just means like what's the value? What price do I have to pay to buy this company? And is there value in it? Is it worth it? If I'm overpaying for something, so a stock, is the stock going to go up if I'm really paying a high price? If the stock's been up 200% for the year, is it going to go up another 200 or do I have to wait for it to come down? So that's when you have to look at the value of the company. And there's many different valuation metrics, but we're just going to stick it with one. And it's a pretty good one to kind of use as you look at the whole market and even certain sectors. At the same time, there are sectors that won't apply. And this is called PE, price of the stock over the earnings of the company. So the price of the company, okay, the share price of the company over the earnings of the company. So as an example, if Uber, and these are not the right numbers, but if Uber's stock price was $10 and they earn $1, so price is 10, price of the stock is 10, earnings is $1, 10 divided by 1 is 10, right? So the PE multiple, the price of earnings is 10. If the price is still $10, but the earnings are $2. 10 divided by 2 is 5. The PE multiple drops. It's a lower price earnings multiple. I'm paying only 5 times earnings, forward earnings, what they're going to earn in the
You want
future.
this to be,
Lower.
so you want the PE to be low. And if the
Not, I mean,
PE
not
is
always
really
cuz
high,
sorry, it could also be a reflection that the of price as well. But what you do is you take a look at the PE multiple of the overall market or the sector that they're sitting in, okay? And you compare it to that. And then you also compare it to where it's been in the past. So, as an example, right now the market multiple, so for the S&P 500, I haven't looked, but it's probably around 21 times, 22 times maybe. You want to compare the market multiple to where it's been historically, but many people now are saying, well, the market multiple going back, if it on average, it was maybe 17 times. So in other words, it's a little bit pricier than it has been in the past. But other people will say, but the earnings power is different and the prices are different. So anyway, it's the past isn't always a reflection, but it's a good place to start. So if the market is 23 times, and historically, it's maybe 20 times. It looks a little bit rich versus his history. But then we want to look at, okay, well, under Trump, what's he going to do? What's the economy going to do? Oh, there's going to be more earnings. There's going to be more profit. So I'm okay to pay up because I think the scenario is looking pretty rosy, right? It's what we call a Goldilocks scenario. You know, the Fed's been cutting rates. We've got a pro-economy president coming in. So when all things align, you know, Goldilocks and the three bears, something at some point is just right. That's where the saying comes from as it relates to the markets. So going back, if stock XYZ is trading at 15 times earnings, so PE on a PE basis, say it's 15 times, but it normally trades at 20 times, you want to sit there and you want to go, well, wow, why is it trading below its historical multiple? We call them as multiples, right? PE over something is multiple. And maybe it's because there was a scandal. Like sometimes you'll see if a CEO was, you know, fired quickly. Often, I mean, I hate to say it, but he probably had an affair. I mean, that often happens. FYI, like every time we'd be on the trading desk and that would, and you know, CEO's out, I'm like, okay, great. You know, we know what happened there. I'm teasing, but it's somewhat true. But anyway, so you want to look and see, okay. And if it was just that, but the company fundamentals are great, but the stock took a hit because of that news, you might go in and buy it. And the opposite is true, right? If something's trading high, why is it trading high? Everybody wants it. It's the hot stock of the day. Maybe I'll wait till it's a little bit out of favor, or I'll wait till a day, you know, when the market's down for whatever reason. Does that make sense? So you want to look at where is it in relation to itself historically? Where is it in relation to other stocks, companies within the same sector? So like, you know, retail, where is Walmart versus, I don't know, Walgreens or, you know, another grocery store or what have you? We want to kind of look at comparison and, you know, stocks that have better fundamentals, better revenues, better company managements, better stores, locations, as an example, those company fundamentals might be better and therefore warrant a higher stock price and therefore a higher multiple.
So explain to me why we think, or not explain to me, but let's figure why. So we're under the hypothesis that earnings are going to be better under a Trump administration.
For the most part, but not for all sectors, but for the broader market, yes.
Why?
Why? Because deregulation. So when companies go out and say, hey, you know, I think if I buy that company, it's going to give me more revenue. I've got synergies. I can cancel their back office, amalgamate it into my back office. So there's savings. That means more profit. Profit is earnings. That's one reason. Also, lower taxes.
Or is it less corporate tax?
Lower taxes.
But if he's going to cut down on immigration, it might be more expensive labor.
Yep.
And if he puts all these, tariffs.
Sure.
You know, and inflation, people are going to have less money to spend. I mean, I don't know. I'm just.
No, you're right. You know, no, you're right. It's not, look, and this is what is interesting about the market. Like this week, it's all up and away. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody is not everybody's believing that, just like yourself. There's probably some big money managers out there who are it's called selling into strength. The market's very, very strong. Yeah. It's called selling to strength. They're trimming their positions. They are concerned about what you're talking about.
This has been my concern.
Yeah.
Again, it's just, you know, just like how long can things continue to go up and up and up? You know, if you just look.
Right. And, you know, you and I both own.
For the long term, I do think. Yeah.
For the long term. But you and I both own the broader market. We both own an ETF that represents the S&P 500. So to your point, if something were to happen to your concerns, then you would see that broader market come down. At the same time, if you were very stock specific and said, I'm going to own company XYZ because no matter what happens in the broader economy.
I like this story.
Yeah. I like this story. The valuation makes sense. They're on a growth trajectory. You know, like we haven't talked about it yet on this podcast, but you and I have done in the past, which is that Ninja product that you use, right? That's a publicly traded company and that's been on a growth tear.
Mm-hmm.
As more people buy those appliances, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I use my air fryer every day.
Your air fryer, right? So if it's a company, we call those company specific stories that can almost, you know, withstand the macro issues going on. And by macro, I mean, you know, the policies of government.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to withstand all the policies of government, but, you know, on a relative basis too, they might be, you know, outperformers.
I think I need to be worried about my Chinese Temu stock.
Yeah. Yes, probably.
Yeah.
Probably. I said that a couple weeks ago.
You did.
That was before
you
Trump. Did. Yeah, I know. Actually, I haven't looked at it.
It would be
interesting. As we speak, I'm going to take a look and see what that's. So what you want to do is you want to take a look at that stock price and see what it's done Wednesday through today. So just look at a 5-day return. And it's PDD, isn't it? The ticker?
Yeah.
PDD. So I'll look that up. But meanwhile, you tell me about two other things that you've looked at, which is what's collagen? I don't have my glasses on. That's why I'm not pronouncing things right.
Yeah. So let's talk about beauty instead of like a medical topic. So things that I've been loving this week. So collagen stimulators. So whenever we look at, you know, injectables to the face, I often think about categories. So I think about toxins, like your neurotoxins, like Botox, okay, or botulinum toxin, which is going to temporarily freeze the muscles. Okay. So your muscles get paralyzed so that you can't make expressions and you can't make lines. So that's great for the upper face. Usually lower face, not used as much because we need to use our muscles to speak and talk and smile and whatnot. So then we look at adding volume to the face. So for injectable volumizers, that's when we often look at these hyaluronic acid dermal fillers. You might've heard of Juvederm or Restylane, or we talked about Revanesse last time, Contour. This is when we inject, and it's a gel that causes, it's hydrophilic, so it causes the area around it to swell. So this is how we get volume in our lips or in our cheeks or in our chin if we want to make it bigger. And then the other category is collagen biostimulators. So as we age, we lose collagen. Collagen is a protein that gives our skin structure. It's like the difference between looking at a child's skin that looks so plump and healthy versus someone that's older where it doesn't have that same elasticity and texture and it's saggy. So we want to try to add collagen back. So there are two products that I use. One is called Sculptra and one is called Radiesse. And both of those products, you inject them under the skin, and then it creates, it basically, you can think of it as like planting seeds to kind of create more collagen. So Sculptra, it sort of comes in a vial that has this, looks like little white powder that you reconstitute with fluid, like liquid, like saline, shake it up, and then you inject that into the skin and it causes an inflammatory reaction that builds collagen. So a lot of people are getting away from an overfilled, puffy looking face. Instead, they want to have a more natural look, just stronger, healthier, tighter skin. And that's when we use this, this Sculptra for. So for example, we use it often on the outside of the face. So I was, a lot more people are doing it in the hairline here.
Yeah.
So that what you're doing is you're trying to anchor the face. It's like giving yourself a little mini facelift without cutting. I mean, nothing's going to be as effective as a facelift, obviously, but I'm seeing these are things you can do if you don't want to go under the knife and if you don't want to have a big surgery. So we can put Sculptra in the temples, in the hairline, in the side of the face. If people start noticing their skin is sagging here, we can put it all through here. And it's a nice product that I'm using more and more of in my practice.
And
Radiesse.
Which one is this again? Because I feel like there's a lot of people too, though, who've gotten filler and it's moved around, or, you know, if they've done micro something on top, it's kind of affected it, or, you know, it's, I'm hearing more and more people that aren't happy with whatever filler they've been using going back years ago now.
I still think filler is amazing. Like nothing gives you such, it gives you bang for the buck. I mean, if you have lost volume and you need to replace volume, and I've seen a lot of people lose a lot of weight on Ozempic and they've lost a lot of volume in their cheeks. Their face just looks like it's fallen down because you've lost the fat and you've lost the collagen and you've lost everything. if you need to add volume back, you need filler. I'm sorry, I just don't think there's anything that does as good of a job as volumizing. Also, like if you want lips, I mean, have you seen all those things going around Instagram where they show a picture of Angelina Jolie and then they show her if she had small lips and you're like, you know, so a little lip is nice too, because we lose volume as we age. So you don't want to go back and have these crazy looking weird faces, but you want to get back at least what you had when you were younger. And, you know, if you look at a child, your lips are bigger, your cheeks are bigger and fuller. You have more fat in your face, you know, baby fat. So we want to add some of that back. But if you have already, let's say you have chubby cheeks, or let's say that you have done put enough filler in and you don't want to put any more and you don't want it to migrate, this is something, Sculptra is something that can be used. And same with Radiesse, that also does the same thing, but can be a volumizer as well. So I did this week something called a Radiesse neck wash. So when people are noticing that their skin's getting a little saggy on their neck, like what can you do? You know, don't do surgery. So you can try to just build up the collagen in the neck a little bit. So these are two products that I think are interesting to think about. Collagen biostimulants. Yeah.
Okay. Collagen bio. But so they're going to stimulate your own collagen. At the same time, there's something that is also going in there to fill it up. Correct?
So not with Sculptra. With Sculptra, well, it's just saline. You're going to look plumper, but then that's going to absorb into your body. And it's just going to be the seeds that's now causing creating the collagen. Radiesse is a little bit different because there is calcium hydroxyapatite in there. It's like a white milky looking substance that is creating some volume at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's interesting. It's a lot of different, you know, stuff. And then you think about, okay, well, how else can we build collagen? So some people take collagen orally, and I get asked all the time, does it actually do anything? Does it help? And I don't know. That's my answer, but take it anyway.
Yeah.
I think it probably, I mean, I think it's protein. It's probably good to take. And then you can use a Retin A.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people use these products that can help slough off skin, which is going to cause your skin then to build new collagen. You could do microneedling, which causes micro injury to the skin. That's going to force your body then to create new collagen. And then you can use some of these devices on the market, Silphr, Morpheus. I don't know if you've heard of any of these, you know, things that are also trying to, you know, boost collagen. So we're really just trying to get more collagen.
Got it.
That's true. As you age, you lose muscle, you lose collagen. Let's just try to keep building muscle, keep building collagen.
That's why we have to get savvy. If you have nothing else, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Well,
you know, I'm not, but
you
I
look
am,
at somebody, they're like, coming here, like, wow, you've got great collagen, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know what though, Melissa, like, I mean, I've never done a filler, but I have a wider, you know, fatter face. I always have.
Which helps. So do I. So that's something that helps people. It's something I didn't like when I was younger, but as you age, it helps keep the fullness to your face, having a bit wider of a face. Yeah.
You know what's interesting about doing this podcast, Melissa, and talking about these anti-aging things and health and all that, it's almost, and you know, people always say, what would you tell your younger 15 self? And I'm not even telling myself this. I would say, I don't have children, but to all the mothers out there and the young people who, you know, might start to listen because we're also talking about all this interesting stuff. Just love who and what you are at that moment. You know, there are stages in life and they do change and it does evolve. And you really just got to be very, very happy with where you're at right now. And, you know, we try to do these tweaks, but we're not looking for perfection. And it's just, you know, be happy on the inside out. I really, really mean that.
Totally. Absolutely. That's 100%. You're going to be way more attractive if you exude that confidence and happiness, as opposed to if you just have a little bit of extra collagen in your face.
I was going to say a little bit of menopause fat around my waist that drives me bonkers. It's okay. I'm embracing it.
Embrace it. No one else sees it at all.
I know.
Yeah.
Although I have to say,
that's why you're supposed to, that's why your vision's supposed to get worse as you get older too.
Oh, good.
Oh, yes. I can't see. I can't see it. You look fantastic.
Okay. Well, this might be too much information, but my husband and I have this thing. We always have a bath together.
What?
Yes.
Oh my God, I would love to be a fly on the, not like with a bathing suit on or something, but like, how do you do that? Like, do
We
you
actually have
wash
a
each other?
big, we, what? No, we have a big
You wash
bathtub.
each other?
No, we don't wash each
Okay.
other. We just sit
Oh,
there and
okay.
we'll laugh. No, this is
Do you have
not
a
a
rubber
curse
ducky?
baiting my
Wait.
husband. No, we just sit there and relax. It's kind of a thing we do at
That's so
nighttime.
nice.
It's so nice. And it was funny because one of my girlfriends I was out for lunch with, like her and her husband, they go for walks. I'm like, I didn't say it, but like, yeah, we have a bath together. But the funny thing was, like, I had, my menopause weight around my stomach, and I'm like, so what? So what if he
Yeah.
sees, like, of course he can see it, but like, of course he's seen it before, but I'm like, I don't care. But when you're older,
Yeah,
you
I
might
mean,
care a bit more. I don't know.
I'm not allowed to use my bath
Why?
because Adam always complains that the water it makes a mess and the water comes on the floor. So I'm like, gonna suggest we take a bath together. See how that goes.
He will say yes in a heartbeat. Are you kidding me? You'll forever be allowed to use your
I'm gonna
bathtub.
put all the kids' bath toys in the bath and put them all in. No, but
They
it is
have to
nice
do
to
it
do something
tonight.
with your partner. You have to do
Yeah.
something nice like that and do things together. It's like couples that play together stay together, you
Yeah.
know? So we like to play tennis together.
I think he might
That's what
rather
we
a
do.
bath, Melissa. You should do
What are you
it.
gonna do in the bath,
What are you
sitting
doing
there in the
tonight?
bath?
What are
Can
you
you
doing?
imagine with
What?
a household with kids? If my kids are going to be knocking at the door, what are you doing? Come up. We're just taking a bath together.
Yes.
I'm going to do
It tonight. Report
it.
back next. By the way, it's
I mean,
Friday. You should do it tonight. You probably have plans. You're probably
I
going out somewhere.
will. It would be
Are
nice.
you?
Watch a nice show. No, we're not going out tonight. We're going to take the kids to their lessons and then we're watching a new show together. I always like when we have a show that we're watching together. If we don't
Yeah,
at
me
night, I
too.
feel like we're. Yeah, we started
Doing
watching The
your own thing.
Penguin.
Penguin? Is it good? I'm assuming it is.
Oh, we're at episode three so far. I don't know. Like he dresses, Colin Farrell. He puts on this whole I don't know. So yeah,
Okay. I'm always looking
it's
for good
okay.
shows.
Yeah, we started. I'm early on, so I'm early days. So I'll give you my final. We'll see if I stick with it, and I can tell you what I
Okay.
think.
Yeah, that's always the hard part, sticking with it sometimes. Melissa, I want to follow up actually. This is kind of interesting. Tesla. Okay, we talked about Tesla a couple of weeks ago, and I bought it because I do believe this one analyst on Wall Street, Dan Ives, who I've talked to for years, he's at Wedbush Securities. He thinks that there's about $1 trillion of unlocked value in Tesla as it relates to AI and the full self-driving car aspect of Tesla, right? And how many years out is that? Do I want to buy it now, et cetera? Anyway, I bought it, and this is what's called talking your book. And I don't normally do that, but that I'm just trying to give you some of the lingo so that when you guys watch CNBC as an example, and you get a portfolio manager on there and they're talking about their stock, they should say they own it, right? They're talking their book, but they admit that they own it, and they're saying all these positive things, and then maybe other people go out and buy it, and the stock goes up, right? That's called talking your book. But anyway, it's interesting as it relates to Trump's presidency, because there's a view that President Trump will be negative on electric vehicles as far as tax rebates and tax incentives, right? Because this is a highly subsidized industry right now because it takes so much money to build the batteries, build the EVs, not a lot of profit, et cetera. So they're heavily subsidized, this entire industry. So if President Trump isn't as favorable in terms of giving out those tax incentives and those subsidies, it potentially, according to a Wall Street analyst, really benefits Tesla because they have the scale and the scope that's unmatched versus the other competitors that are out there right now. So that's one
Interesting.
interesting aspect. The other interesting aspect is Trump has been pretty clear that not only will most countries see tariffs on all products going into the United States, so Canada included, but the one country that will probably have the highest tariffs will be China. So if there are significant tariffs on Chinese cheap EVs, electric vehicles that come into the United States, it might make it so that it's not really worth it to buy one of the Chinese EVs. Again, this is coming from an analyst, not me. So it's interesting to note how it might help Tesla if he pulls back on some of those subsidies. And then there's also the view that he could, in fact, accelerate full self-driving vehicles. So I just thought I'd point that out. The other aspect to think about, too, that we'll have to watch is how does he feel about AI? And if there's going to be more investment towards AI, and it made me think, Melissa, you know, about talking more to you and everybody about what would be the good AI plays. Ian Schaefer talked about one briefly last week, Vertiv, I have to check out the ticker. It's VRT or VRTV. Don't quote me on it. But that's the one that does the cooling systems for all these, you know, power data centers. All these data centers that you need to power AI, they need a cooling system. I mean, you know, if you put your hand up close to a computer or your phone, even if you've been using it, it's hot. So imagine all the power computing that it takes to run AI, and therefore the cooling systems that will be used and implemented. So it's a bit of a, it's an industrial play on AI. Industrial meaning it's a cooling system. Think, you know, your air conditioning.
And we were talking also about the other play on it in just the investing in the data centers themselves.
Yes. Yeah.
Or REITs that own data centers, I guess.
Yes, exactly.
So I think the one was DLR you were looking at. We were looking at.
Which one? Yeah, so the ticker is
DLR, I think.
Oh.
That's for Vertiv, yeah. Vertiv. But I'm talking about the actual data centers. I think DLR, I think that's the ticker for. Yeah, look it up, see what.
This is probably a good time to say, everybody do your own homework. So we're just bringing it like.
Yeah, but let's put these on our, like you said, why don't we put this, start a watch list. So here, DLR, it's a digital realty trust.
Correct, yep.
It's gone up like crazy. It's, if you look at its performance. But yeah, and also I think he's going to have to, I was listening to one podcast and they were talking about how they're going to really have to try to get him to invest in nuclear to compete with China, just to be able to get the energy, that the power that's needed for this AI. I mean, this isn't my area of expertise, but I was listening to them talk about it, that we just, if we want to be able to compete, we just need so much power.
I know. I've kind of started to look at that. It's called SMR, small modular reactors. But you still always have this NIMBYism, like not in my backyard. So I don't know.
I know, but I don't think know.
And the technology is supposed to be safer, supposed to be. But, you know, again, we could easily get an analyst on that.
I think that'd be super interesting to hear about. Just a note with the Tesla. So a few things. So like I take my kids to this like club where they do skating and tennis, and the parking lot, I would say the other day when I was there, first of all, it's the first time I've seen it in Canada. There was a, oh my God, what do you call the Cybertruck?
Oh.
A Tesla Cybertruck in the park. It's the first one I've seen in Canada, to be honest.
Fun.
Yeah. And when I looked at the parking lot also, I would say a fifth of all the cars in the parking lot were Teslas.
A fifth?
Which I think is so many.
That's a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot. And that's a big problem with Teslas too. Like, they all look the same. So like sometimes the way you open a Tesla is through your phone, right? Like you just walk close to the car and it just opens because it has the app on your phone. Like you don't need a key. You don't need anything like that. Okay. So I remember early on when I was telling somebody, oh, I got, you know, the Tesla and I was coming to come. It's so cool. It just opens with your phone. So we walk up to my car and it just wouldn't open. So I'm thinking, like, what's going on? Like, I'm just trying to open the car and it's not opening. And I'm like, oh, well, let me just like shut down my phone and then turn my phone back on. Maybe it's just my app. Maybe it's the data. I don't know. It wasn't working. And I was like, I don't know what's happening. I felt like I was going to cry. And then I realized I was just at the wrong car.
Yeah.
There was just two white Teslas parked side by side. And I was trying to open up the other person's car.
Oh my God.
And then I was like, oops, let's just walk over here to my car. Because there's so many cars that look the exact same in the parking lot.
Yeah, they do look a lot alike.
They look the exact same. Like, and you can picture it being a fleet of these cars. I just picture it being a fleet of these cars that look identical, driving around the city without a car, bumping into things and like stuck on the side, like going back and forth, confused. Like even yesterday, I used the self-driving to go to my friend's house. And like, you have to put in your navigation where you're going. So you're using the navigation in the car to direct you there. So as it's driving to my friend's house, I'm like, nope, it missed the turn because it's a bit of a confusing turn. You have to know from experience that it's a bit confusing of following how to get there. It missed the turn. So if I wasn't in the car, it would have just kept doing circles and circles and circles.
That
Yeah.
doesn't sound great.
So then
But
what happens is,
don't worry. His Starlink satellite system will fix that.
it's
Guaranteed.
gonna fix. I mean, this is like the startup. This is the bumps in the road, like on the way, but I'm just saying, like right now, and then you have to give feedback. So what happens is I had to turn off the self-driving and turn around, and then I had to push the volume and tell Tesla what happened so they could give it back to their head office. And I'm just picturing Elon being like, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Melissa. Yeah, he's
We will
definitely
now
saying thank
improve
you,
our
Tesla.
self-driving because of your feedback.
By the way, it probably doesn't go to a person. It goes to a computer that's AI. That's how they
Yeah.
collect it. And then that's how
But I
they.
picture an Elon sitting there. Thank
Okay.
you.
We'll send this little clip to him. I think what you should do is you should have a little style side with him too. I think all the same looking cars need a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of something. Something, something.
Yeah.
Okay. Lastly here, and what did you want to bring up anything with respect to hair and people who are losing their
Yes.
hair?
Yes,
Because by the way,
two things I'm loving.
by the way, you did mention like a hair massage, and I actually saw one of these things on Instagram, and I'm almost tempted to buy it.
Okay, if anybody listening to this podcast or when we post it wants the link of the one I bought, I will send it to them because it's awesome. So there
Come
are
on.
two products that I bought on Amazon that I'm loving for my hair right now. One of them is this scalp massager, which feels great, but it also stimulates, I mean, by increasing blood flow to the area, it could theoretically, the idea is increase blood flow and therefore increase hair growth. And you can also pair it with, a hair oil, or if you're using minoxidil, Rogaine, whatever, to put it into their hair. So actually a friend of mine who's got unbelievable hair told me about this hack, and I love it. And actually, when you use Sculptra, okay, the product I was talking about, that's a collagen biostimulator. One of the important things that you have to do is you have to massage the area for 5 minutes, 5 times a day for the first 5 days, because you don't, you, they, it needs the stimulation to create the collagen, but also you want to move it around because theoretically it could, if all the collagen builds in one area, you could get a little nodule. Anyhow, so this was great. Like if you're doing the Sculptra in this area, you can also use this massager on the area that helps do double duty. So anyhow, that, and then my hairdresser, I don't know why, it just so happened she told me, and I wish I would have known about this for years. I started wearing, and I'm going to wear it in the bath tonight to make it extra special with Adam, a
No,
satin
look good.
hair
Don't
bond.
wear something silly.
Okay, fine. I'll look good. A
What is
satin
it?
hair bond. Have you ever slept in a bonnet?
No.
It's amazing. It is a
It's
game
not cold.
changer.
I have heat. I have heat. Remember, you wore a bonnet when you didn't have heat. That's
No,
why
no,
they wear
no. You, this is
bonnets.
not for cold or warmth or anything.
I
But if you've heard about
know.
hair, you've heard about
Fitting.
sleeping on a satin, oh, right. You've heard about sleeping on a satin pillowcase. Well, this is basically putting your whole hair into the pillowcase. And if you sweat, it doesn't tangle. It will just save your hairstyle. And if you get a blowout or something and you want to save the way your hair looks over the course of like days, you just sleep in this. And the combination of the scalp massager, satin bonnet, I will send links. They're good
Send
products.
links.
Okay.
That sounds great. I would do the bonnet for sure. I would actually do both.
They're
I would.
both great. And also, like for people that sweat a lot too, like if you're going through like menopause, or if you're on any medications that cause you to have sweats at night, or if you just are one of those people that gets hot at night, by having your hair off your neck, it's way better.
Oh,
And then
that
you
would
don't
be a
have to
good
put it in
idea.
plastic either, which ruins your hair because some people sleep with their hair up, but then you get a kink in it. So this is a great, great product.
Oh, that sounds amazing. I wonder if it was on like Dragon's Den or, what's it, Shark
Well, it
Tank?
would be so easy to copy, I guess. So I
Copy.
don't know. Yeah.
It's so funny. Maybe you should wear it though in the bath because I love teasing my husband too. Like just doing these things
Maybe then he
like
won't bug
face
me.
mat. Yeah, they won't bug me.
He won't bug me, Lou.
No, they just think, They just think you're crazy. It's like perfect.
You put bubble bath in?
No, I do Epsom salts,
Oh, okay.
eucalyptus.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Okay. I think I'll
Yeah.
do bubble. I like the bubbles and the, you know. There's no way this is gonna happen, but I want it to
You
happen.
have to do it. If you have
Okay, I'm
Adam
gonna do
there,
it.
you have Adam, he will be so excited.
Yeah, I mean, yes, and yes, he
He
would be, and it
will.
will be funny as well.
He will. All
But
right, Melissa, let's wrap it. I think that for me, market-wise, I'm gonna kind of see how things settle out a little bit. I mean, I'm gonna do some homework on. I'm regretful that I didn't buy Goldman Sachs, but there's another investment bank that I'm gonna take a look at and do some homework on. And maybe we talk about your ninja stock next week. And I'm also thinking that with President Trump in, at least from a near-term perspective, maybe there's some retail stocks I want to take a look at. And in particular, November tends to be a good month in terms of upside. And then, I wouldn't be surprised if we see what's called a Santa Claus rally, which means we rally higher into the year end. So maybe there's even something we want to take a look at from a short-term perspective, even though you and I aren't traders. Or maybe we just buy more of the market or what have you. But anything on your radar for markets that you want me to look at? Canada, you want Canadian banks.
I like Canadian banks. I do. I'm boring. I like Canadian banks. I don't know. I mean, I am a little bit weary of how, I mean, yes, I think there's still room to go up, but I'm just looking at for the new year where I can, I don't know, trim some things and rebalance a
Okay.
bit. I
Okay.
don't know. I'm not sure. I would like, wouldn't mind looking into that, those data
DLR.
centers. I think that's a
Okay.
good idea. Yeah.
Okay.
And I
Data
don't know. There's
center.
nothing really I'm, yeah, there's
You
nothing
can
I'm
also
too.
protect your upside as well by buying a
Yes.
hedge. I don't know if we want to get, if we're going to get ahead of ourselves if we talk about hedges, but just for everybody to know, you can actually hedge your portfolio, which means
About
protecting.
that.
Okay, let's talk about that next time.
Yeah,
Okay.
I think it's a good topic. I think it's something that we should definitely talk about because I think it's a lot of people that a thing that sophisticated people are doing, so everybody should
Yeah.
know what that means.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And report back on the bath. Your bath.
I guess that's me on the bonnet.
The bath and the
Okay.
bonnet. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you later. Bye.
Weekend.